This is Tripod, New Orleans at 300. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levenson. Right now, you might not be itching for Mardi Gras, since it just happened and everything. But imagine what it will feel like 6 months from now, when you haven't caught any beads, or a shoe, or a light-up clicky thing, and still have another 6 months to go. It can be rough.
When it's over, I get disappointed.
That's Eddie Smith, a flambeau carrier who's been toting, as he calls it, for over 20 years. Flambeau carriers have been part of Mardi Gras history since the 19th century. They carry tall, metal, candelabra-like torches fueled with kerosene to light the night parades. It's basically like holding a giant street lamp over your head, a flaming street lamp. It can be hot, exhausting work. But Eddie's all about it.
I just be like, man, why Mardi Gras gotta be over so fast? Why I can't keep going and going and going?
You know Eddie's not alone here. At least one of you listening right now is still in post-Mardi Gras mourning. And we'll get back to Eddie. But now, imagine not one, but 4 whole years without Mardi Gras.
I could not imagine 4 years without Mardi Gras.
That's Ryan Fertel, a writer and teacher in New Orleans.
The papers of the period leading up to Mardi Gras in 1946 describe the city as like very mirth-starved and just kind of like very famished for the pomp of Mardi Gras, the pomp and pageantry of Mardi Gras. And I don't doubt it.
1946, the year after World War II ended. And after those 4 long years, Mardi Gras is finally back.
And so Mardi Gras rolls around for the first time in a long time, it must feel like. And a central component of Mardi Gras disappears from the streets, the flambeau carriers.
Ryan wrote an article about flambeau carriers that came out in the March 2017 issue of Oxford American.
So the flambeau carriers are African-American men, historically, who carry these cross-shaped wooden sticks. At the top of these wooden sticks is a big pot or can of kerosene, 2 gallons of the gas of the stuff. Altogether, it weighs about 70 pounds. And they carry these cross-shaped torches to light the streets.
If you've been to a parade on St. Charles Avenue, you know what Ryan's talking about. The flambeaux still twirl their torches for a number of carnival crews today. But their role originated out of an actual need for light. In the 19th century, before electricity, the flambeaux served a functional purpose, to literally light the parades so crowds could see the floats and royalty. The first carriers were enslaved men and freemen of color. Now, back to the 20th century. Before World War II, carriers were paid $2 per parade, plus tips, whatever parade watchers tossed their way as they danced down the street. Then the war starts, and Mardi Gras is put on hold until the war ends. So then 1946 rolls around, and?
The flambeau carriers go to the Mardi Gras den, and they ask for higher pay.
The carriers asked for more than twice their pre-war wages, $5 per parade.
Right after the Second World War, African Americans had been in the military.
This is Carolyn Cobb, a scholar of New Orleans history.
They knew what they had done for their country, and they didn't want to be treated badly when they got back.
She says this is what may have caused the flambeau to ask for higher wages. So they ask for $5 a pop, and the crews come back with an offer of $2.50. The flambeau hold their ground and insist on $5, and the crews won't budge either. A spokesman for the major carnival organizations told the New Orleans Item newspaper at the time, quote, "Our position is going to remain unalterable. The increase we have offered is all that we are going to offer. We anticipate no trouble in getting along without them."
And so they strike.
Which leaves the crew of Momus without lights. So crews that roll after Momus, like Comus and Proteus, scramble for a backup plan to find replacement carriers, scabs. They turn to African-American war veterans and ask them to step in. Crew captains approach the veterans saying that they should volunteer their services once again so that the city can benefit from Carnival and the experience can resume to what it was before the war.
And they said, like, you know, for the good of the country, you know, it's for the good of Mardi Gras. So please, like, take this lower pay rate and come march as flambeau.
Do you know if the appeal to World War II veterans were specifically to African-American veterans?
Yeah. The Picayune States Item talk about appealing to black veterans to pick up the flambeau, to, like, you know, to take the torch, to do it for America.
that it would be their patriotic honor.
Right, and these veterans, frankly, found this disgusting and didn't scab.
And so?
Momus and Comus and others march without lights.
The parades roll in the dark. You're listening to Tripod, New Orleans at 300. I'm Lane Catherine Levinson.
You know, the thing about that strike is the biggest report that happened in the newspaper was on the front page of the New Orleans Item.
There's Carolyn Cobb.
The Item was the only unionized paper there ever was in the city, and they covered that strike.
The Times-Picayune, on the other hand, had little mention of the strike. But along with the New Orleans Item, the Black-run Louisiana Weekly newspaper also had considerable coverage. Here's Ryan.
One man told the Weekly's reporter that, instead of all the nerve appealing to veterans, there's not a place along the parade route where vets' wives or children can find seats to see parades.
It's basically like, how are you going to ask us to save the party if we're not even invited in the first place? So the flambeau struck with the support of Black veterans who refused to become scab laborers.
It seems to have been a total strike.
Well, 1946 is a real interesting year.
Charles Chamberlain is a labor historian and says this flambeau strike fits within a larger context of post-war organizing efforts.
It comes at the end of the war when there's a lot of momentum, especially in the African-American community, for political organizing and labor organizing.
Charles says that during the war, newly politicized church leaders and labor organizers were working together in New Orleans for economic and civil rights.
So I wouldn't be surprised if, for example, some of the flambeau members were either members of a local union that was active and then politically active, or hanging out with other people, either their church or just as friends who were part of this sweeping political activism in 1946.
He says this also explains why the African Americans were not about being scabs.
You may have had such strong political solidarity, especially among veterans, who really saw, after they fought for democracy, saw democracy back at home being so important, that they refused to basically cross the picket line.
It also doesn't surprise Charles that the Times-Pic hardly covered the story.
Well, I think the Times-Picayune was known as having a more business-friendly editorial policy, and maybe they didn't want to give coverage to any labor unrest that could be positive coverage. And I imagine that was an important, just symbolic strike.
Symbolic and successful. After a year of refusing to march, the crews granted the flambeau $4 per parade, a dollar short of their request. And the parades were lit once again. Today, flambeau carriers are paid between $50 and $80 per parade.
But it ain't about the fit, it's about how much you get on the tips on the street.
That's Eddie Smith again, who you heard at the beginning of this story. His first parade of 2017, he made $600. But then again, it was the NBA All-Star Weekend. Even still, Eddie says, it's not just about the money. He also loves it in part for the physical workout. Remember, those torches weigh like 70 pounds and you're carrying it over your head for hours. It's still as hard as it was 100 years ago.
After this, I feel nasty. Like I need to really take a fast bath because that stuff be all on you, then you be sweating in it. And that kerosene mixed with that sweat, that kerosene get in my nose, and when I take a shower, I put the towel in my nose, buku black stuff come out my nose. So that's why you gotta have a handkerchief to cover up your nose so you won't inhale that stuff. I love it though. I love it.
Mostly because carrying a flambeau gives Eddie a way to actually be a part of Mardi Gras and not just watch it from the outside. Here's Ryan.
It's a way to be embedded in Mardi Gras without being of Mardi Gras, so without like paying those extravagant dues it takes to be a member of Rex or whatever. I mean, this is what Mardi Gras is all about. It's all about participation.
And it's about tradition. Eddie's 33 and has been carrying since he's 9 years old.
I grew up doing this. Like I say, it's been like generations, you know what I'm saying? My grandpa even did it, so you know, they got it from their daddy. I got it from my uncle and daddy, and I ain't never looked back.
That's why Eddie's gonna keep doing it until he's too old to tote, he says. Which is why he's training the next generation already.
I got a son right now, because once I get a little older, he can keep doing it, showing his kid how to make an honest dollar. You could make an honest dollar the right way. You know, I'm just teaching him how to hustle.
This is emotional for Eddie, and I can relate to the guy for getting sad about something ending before it's even over.
This is the only time I see people come together, only for the parade. You know what I'm saying? And I like that, you know what I'm saying? And that's why I don't be liking it to be over with. I be wanting to cry.
You can cry in front of me. It's okay. But it's not all emo all the time over here with Eddie. Honestly, he likes it for the attention.
I just like the attention. You know what I'm saying? I just like it. It made me feel like I'm somebody.
It's
you know
like
what
that saying? Song, you know, I don't want to give you the wrong impression. I need love and affection.
I didn't know you was on Future. That's what's up.
Come on, of course.
I would think you
Tripod is a production of WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio, in collaboration with the Historic New Orleans Collection and the Midlow Center for New Orleans Studies at UNO. Support also comes from Pizza Delicious, offering original New York-style pizzas, house-made pastas, and a rotating seasonal menu for dine-in and delivery. Special thanks to Evan Christopher for the opening theme music of Tripod. You can catch Tripod on the air Thursdays during Morning Edition, again on Mondays during All Things Considered. You can also subscribe to the Tripod podcast. And if you go to the podcast this week, you'll see a new Tripod Extra with Ryan Fertel. You can hear more about the history of Flambeau. You can hear about Ryan's own experience carrying the torch a few years ago during Mardi Gras. So go check that out. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levinson, and
I'm Carolyn Cobb, and I'll Tripod you later.